Good morning, and we are so glad that you are here with us at Old Lion, Young Lion. And this is now not only radio, but wherever you stream, we are the number one show in the world. And we're excited that you're here with us. My name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazelton. And we are the hosts of Old Lion, Young Lion. We call ourselves that because we work for the greatest lion of all time, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. We also believe that the Bible, which we stand on, teaches very clearly that the righteous are bold as lions, and we intend to be bold today and follow after our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Sam and I are both pastors of a local New Testament church in Schenectady, New York, and the name of our church is Electric City Baptist Church, and we meet every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in Schenectady, New York, at 2350 Hamburg Street. We'd love for you to come and be a part of our gathering. We'd love for you to come and hear the Word of God preached, and we'd love for you to come and hear the people of God worship the Almighty God. We're so happy that you are here with us today. We have a great show in store for you, a follow-up from last week's episode. And we want to make sure that we announce and let you know who is sponsoring today's episode, and that is the Women's Bible Study at Electric City Baptist Church, led by a Cindy Guile. And so we want to say thank you to the Women's Bible Study once a month, Saturdays at 11 a.m. And so thank you very much, Cindy, and all the women supporting today's show. So Sam, we have a little tradition here, and why don't you say hi to the people, and then if you could, we start every episode off with a word of prayer. Lead us in a word of prayer. Honor the great King and the Almighty God.
Well, I'll say hello, good morning, and I will mention, Anthony, we are not quite yet the number one show on the air, so I wanted to correct that record.
You're right. I confess and repent of this, and we're going for it. We're going for it. Go ahead. Pray us into the show.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We love you, Lord, and I pray today that our hearts would be close to you, Lord, and not far away from you. Father, I pray today that as we open the Word of God, as we examine what we've been talking about, this Roman Catholic Church, this Roman Catholic hierarchy, Lord, I pray that we'd be able to address this topic with grace, that our speech might be seasoned, as it were, with salt, that we might know how we ought to answer everyone. And Father, so we pray and ask you to lead our conversation this morning, and I pray that people listening to us would be led to a true and living relationship with the true and living God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all those that are listening. And we hope that whatever you're walking through, whether you're in the season of triumph or you're in a season of trial, that we pray that this show blesses you and brings you a little bit closer to a walk with Jesus Christ. And we also pray that you find even just a crumb of truth from what we're offering today. So we've been on a little bit of an adventure on Old Lion, Young Lion over the last year or so, just digging truth out from Scripture and proclaiming it boldly. And we kicked off an episode last week debunking some of the things from the Roman Catholic Church and stating the seven deadly sins of the Roman Catholic Church. And so, Sam, why don't you give us a little idea of where we were, talk about where we're kind of going today, and tell us a little bit about where we're going to go in the future.
First, we talked about how this happened, about the progression of how the church was slowly taken over, if you will, by carnal men who were lusting after political power rather than after a relationship with God. And we talked about the Reformation and how that happened. And yet, the Reformation itself was a limited correction. And we'll get into that in later weeks. We also dealt with these seven deadly sins, as we called them, of the Roman Church. And we covered some details which really showed that there are influences of Satan in some of these practices. But this week, we're going to boil it down, get really to the heart of the matter.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm kind of excited about where we're going to go with some of the details of today's show. And if you've been following our show at all, anytime we get to talk about what we call here transparency and sincerity, what I believe are core practices of the Christian faith, I get excited I get excited about when we get to dig into who Jesus Christ was and what message he actually preached. And what we all understand is that truth, when it is stacked up against falsehoods and lies, it shines even brighter. And so I love when we get into the actual bottom line. What is the purpose of what we're talking about? And why are we even digging into this? What's the heart of the matter? And here's what it is that it's a matter of the heart. So actually this week, we were able to take a little bit of time and watch kind of a stream of a Roman Catholic, what they call mass. And there were some things that kind of stood out about it. And we'll be succinct about this, but we noticed some things practically in this mass that we wanted to point out and then get to the matter of the heart. So Sam, why don't you tell us a couple of things that you noticed when we were watching this Catholic mass?
In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Paul says this, "But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." As I was watching this mass, it was streaming. One thing that was I noticed right away, there was this stark contrast. You had very, very ornate and beautiful surroundings. The architecture, the pictures, the gold-plated things that were all over. It was very outwardly beautiful. And yet, as I watched the people come in and I watched the actions of the priests who were up on the platform, I noticed there was no joy. There was no delight. It was very somber. It was kind of detached. And the Bible says that God wants us to love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And this is what God's looking for. He's looking for that delight, that loving relationship for us to have with him, that we're just happy to be in his presence, happy to be with him in everything that we do. This seemed to be people who were going through ritual motions. I noticed that they went in and they bowed at certain times and they made the sign of the cross at certain times and they regurgitated certain words that they were supposed to say at different times. All of these rituals, it seemed to me, were masking and barricading and protecting their heart from actual fellowship with a loving God.
Well, and it's interesting, you might say, okay, that's just a subjective opinion view of something that you saw from a distance. And to some degree, you might be right about that. And if you really want to roll the dice on something because you're just not going to take a man's subjective opinion, hey, be our guest. We want you to go. We're not hiding it. You can go and watch some of this stuff and you can decide for yourself. But what you end up having to do, what you end up having to actually do is look at the Word of God, compare it to the things that we're warning you about here on this show, and then decide whether you will take a tradition or whether you will take men's ideals of how religion is supposed to work, or you can come to the Word of God and say, this is the direction that I want to go and I want to follow after what the Word of God teaches me about who Christ is and about what the truth actually is. Now, we could take this whole episode and we could point out to you 100 different ways about the satanic symbolism that are in the Catholic churches, the actual egregious sins that they've perpetrated on regular people. We could talk to you about the history of violence and antichrist rhetoric that they have spewed from their quote-unquote vicar of Christ. We could talk about all those things. And you know what? There's research that you can do on all of them. But here's what we want to get down to. We want to get down to the matter of the heart, that the book of Hebrews teaches us that the very Jesus Christ, who they claim to worship and who I actually do worship, was anointed with gladness and joy. And Jesus was filled with joy. Jesus was filled with gladness. And we ought to go to him seeking out matters of truth. So what did Jesus tell us throughout the scripture? But primarily, we want to look at Mark chapter number 7. We want to look at a passage where Jesus wrestles with this idea of religiosity and outward showing of work and beauty and how Jesus deals with it. Before Sam goes into Mark 7, I want everybody to know that when you read the life of Jesus Christ, you actually find that the people that he's most angry with is not the regular guy that's, you know, ditching work early or the guy that's trying to make ends meet at his job and maybe cuts a few corners, though he wants them to straighten out, no doubt. Jesus hurls his most strong statements of condemnation at so-called religious elite who put on men's shoulders burdens that they cannot carry. So let's look at Mark chapter number 7 as kind of a rubric of how we decide some truth, especially when it comes to this Roman Catholic Church. So Sam, show us some things from Mark chapter 7, and we'll also look at some corollary passages as well.
Mark chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "And the Pharisees and scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?' And he said to them, 'Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'"
So what is Jesus getting at here as he's speaking to these so-called religious elite of the time?
God wants your heart. God wants to have a relationship individually with you, just like a father wants to have a relationship with his son. God wants to relate to us. We are spirit and soul. God is a spirit. He wants to relate to us spiritually. He wants to have an intimate connection with us, particularly with our hearts. What the religious people, and I say religious people, and we've been talking about Catholicism, that's an example of a religion, and there are many others. And you see this same pattern being carried out in Protestant churches, Episcopalians, Lutherans, whatever. You see this being carried out in every religion that there is. You see a desire to replace a relationship with God with rituals and symbolism and outward displays of religious piety that are put there as a show, and they actually cover up and protect our hearts from the God who wants to intimately know us.
And we've been calling this idea smoke screen. So Sam, why don't you break out that illustration that these guys are creating a smoke screen that separate them, hide them from God. Why? What's the idea here in regards to religious actions that create a smoke screen between people and God?
In John chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." And what we see here in these religious elite, these people that are wearing the long robes and portraying themselves as men of God and men of holiness, is that they are actually masking their love for the world. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but are of the world." So what's happening is these men are putting on these cloaks to put an outward show of their religious piety, but their hearts are far from God, and their hearts are actually in love with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
I'm glad that you brought that up about where their hearts actually are, because Jesus isn't coming up with a new idea. Jesus, who is the Word of God made into flesh, is quoting from the prophet Isaiah. So it even tells us in Mark chapter 7 that Jesus is teaching and quoting from Isaiah, from the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter number 29. So I'm going to have Sam read this verse in a moment. Sam, I want you to read Isaiah 29:13 in a moment. But here's what's happening in the book of Isaiah. There's a prophet that arises named Isaiah who's to bring the truth back to the people of God so that they'll repent of their wicked ways and turn back to this God. Isaiah also is proclaiming that this deliverer will show up and redeem all of God's people. But particularly in Isaiah 29, where Jesus quotes from, there is a group of leaders in the ancient Israel that are with their lips, they're praising God, but their heart is far from them. The Bible teaches in Isaiah 29 that a book is delivered to these leaders of Israel, and their response, their spiritual response is, "We cannot open this book, and we cannot read this book." And it's to me, it's an exact equal to what's happening today, that so-called religious leaders have been given a book that shows who God is, and their response is, "We cannot read it and we cannot open it, so we're going to make up our own idea of what God would want." So give us a little insight into Isaiah 29 verses verse 13.
Yeah, so this is what was quoted in Mark chapter 7. It says, and the Lord said, because this people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden.
And the reason why we are even going so hard on this particular subject is verse number 14, which Sam read, is that Jesus is going to do something, and he's going to stand for what is true with a great display, which he ultimately does on the cross and does through his church and through his Spirit. And if men are out there disguising the truth of God and selling you traditions of men, not only are they not able to come to the truth of Jesus Christ, but they shut up the kingdom of God to everybody else that they teach. This is why this is so important. And the reason why we can't break down every little symbolic thing is that we got to get every single one of our listeners to the feet of Jesus Christ so that they reject some incense throwing, bell ringing, cracker tasting, false religion, and push people to the true and wonderful Son of God, Jesus Christ. So in Mark 7, and also Isaiah 29, but there's a third passage of scripture that we think kind of shows this out a little bit, and that's in Colossians chapter number 2. So I'm going to ask Sam to kind of go to the Colossians 2 passage, and then if you will, tie together the Mark 7, Isaiah 29, and Colossians 2, and what we see as our subjective opinion, what we believe God is showing us, but our subjective opinion about what we see happening in this false religion. Tie these three passages together, old lion.
In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 16, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. And we need to understand right there that Jesus came to fulfill everything that was in the Old Testament. All those symbols, the tabernacle, all the ritual examples that were given in the Old Testament to the Old Testament priests were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now the reality is Jesus. Now what has happened in not only the Catholic Church, but in many other so-called expressions of religion, that they have attempted to rebuild these shadows in their own image. They've tried to recreate these things and make a quote-unquote new religion. Jesus did not come to establish a new religion. He did not come to bring us some new rituals. Oh, we don't like these old Jewish rituals. We're going to come up with our own Christian rituals. We don't like these old Jewish holidays. We're going to create our own Christian holidays. That's not what Jesus came to do. He came to seek and to save lost people and to fulfill what was promised in the Old Testament. Those were all a picture of what he was about to do. And now the reality, the substance belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not intimately from the heart connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have God at all. You are literally going through the motions. You're using a cloak to mask your worldliness. You're using a cloak to mask what's truly in your heart, which is a love for the world.
The reason why we're even having this discussion, you might say, you know, this isn't as academic as I'd like it to be. This is intentional. We're not that interested in creating another piece of content that does a great critique about what the Catholic Church is doing. Here's what our goal is that what we see from this deadly Roman Catholic Church and its history is that it started out by removing true believers from the social square. Then as it gained power, it started killing those that were going against its organizational intent. Then as they moved forward, they kept the word of God under lock and key from anyone that would dare read it. Then as people started getting access to the word of God, now they say, we're the only ones that can interpret it. Once people can start reading it, interpreting it, and following after the Holy Spirit on their own, now they create this smokescreen of tradition and religion that seems godly on the outside, but on the inside, it is dead man's bones.
That's right.
Why are we sharing this with you? For the everyday guy that's out here, for the lady that's just trying to make ends meet and create a nice Thanksgiving or Christmas for your kids, or you're out here saying, well, what does this have to do with me? Here's why this is so important. Why this is so important is the book of Matthew, and really throughout the Bible, it, specifically in the book of Matthew, Jesus brings this idea and he says, I want you to ask of me, I want you to seek me, I want you to knock on my door and it will be opened and I will answer you. And then Jesus says this, he says, what man is there of you whom if his son asks for bread, that you would give him a stone? Or if a son or daughter asks for a fish, that a good father would give them a snake? For those out there that are saying, hey, I'm not that interested in a religious argument about the Catholic Church, that's not what this is. What we are trying to do is introduce you to God the Father, who is a good, good Father, who intends when you ask something of him, for him to give you something good. Not a substitution smokescreen that leads you to death, death, and more death. But rather, the bread and water of life, namely in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who changes and transforms you only when you are introduced to the true and living Jesus Christ. This is why we're doing this. The whole matter of this is a matter of the heart. And you only can come to know God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. That's why we're doing this. Sam, give us a little kind of synopsis of what we're talking about today. And wrap us up a little bit with this whole idea of the Catholic Church. And let us just hurry up and be done with this so that our folks out there that are listening can get on to what the Bible actually teaches, their actual walk with God, and the actual path that the Lord has for them.
God gets no joy when you sit down and go through a bunch of rituals where your heart is completely disconnected and you are saying something with your lips or you're making hand motions or whatever, gestures or bowing down, that you're just doing out of rote. It's something that you're just doing because that's what you've been taught. That's the tradition of man. He wants you to have joy and love for him, true love for him in your heart, and to have the expressions of your body to be spontaneous and to be motivated, not out of obligation, but out of love for God. This is what God is trying to get at. And we see in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about the end of the age. And he says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many, he says, will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And we've talked about the Catholic Church over the hundreds of years of its existence has done many mighty works in the name of the Lord. They have cast out demons. They've done these things. But what God wanted all along for every single individual, every single person that names his name, he wants a relationship with that person. He wants a relationship of love with that person. He wants that person to respond with joy and with love to his presence and to spontaneously answer what the Holy Spirit is leading them to do. This is the kind of relationship that God wants with each one of his children. This ritual thing, counting beads, doing so many Hail Marys, this is never going to endear you to God. It actually hurts his heart to see somebody going through the motions and not connected in love to a loving Father. I want to encourage you today to accept no substitute for a relationship with God. God doesn't accept any substitute for it, and neither should we.
Yes, Jesus desires and the Father desires to have a heart that is after him. And he says, rend your heart, not your garments. This is an idea throughout Scripture from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. We find that what God wants is not an outward show of pompous piety or ritualistic religion, but rather he wants your heart. I promise you, this God of all creation cares about, loves, wants your heart.
Yeah. And that's the heart of the matter. I love this, Isaiah 61. It says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, to give them the oil of gladness instead of mourning, to give them the garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. What I saw when I watched the Catholic Mass that I watched this week, and I've been in Catholic churches many times, and what I see in most cases is there's a spirit of heaviness. There is, it's almost like a somber sort of mourning that's happening, rather than dancing, rather than joy, rather than happiness. And I think God wants his people to be people of joy, people of expressions of dancing and joy and gladness, and not a spirit of heaviness.
Yeah, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who follow after the Spirit. I love that. It's powerful. And a real relationship with the eternal God flows out from it joy. It says, your laws are not grievous, but they are for us to enter into all joy. If you were following along today, there's a couple of passages that I'd like to equip you with. Today we looked at Mark chapter 7. We looked at Colossians chapter number 2. We looked at Isaiah chapter 29. And we looked at Isaiah chapter 61. You cannot take our word for it. You need to go and discover this for yourself. Go ahead. Go take a peek and see what this Catholic Mass is all about. But what we ultimately want you to do is open up the Word of God, ask, and you shall receive what He has for you. We're not a show that touches on politics, though we might mention it. We're not a show that gets into the sports world, though it might come up in conversation. We're not a show that dabbles in what's going on around international affairs. What we are is a show that digs deep into the Word of God and then proclaims it boldly. We hope that you'll continue on with us in this journey, that you'll go on your own journey, but ultimately finding the Savior of the world, the one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Thank you for staying with us. God bless.
And we'll see you in church.